Another day of retirement. Money keeps going on the account because of my pension and the year that I was born. Good shit.
Hey, Grandpa, what are you doing?
Oh, I'm just about to sit down and watch my favorite show.
Price is Right?
Nope. Seriously Wrong. The Seriously Wrong comedy podcast.
Seriously Wrong.
It's on TV now.
Yeah, you love that show.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying...
Keeps the aging brain strong.
You remember when you were younger that their Patreon was only $6 a month? And that it still is now.
It's the only price that hasn't gone up in this crazy world. I mean, look, what are you drinking there? Soda pop? What'd you pay for that? $4.95?
It was a good deal. It was $3.75.
$3.75? Jesus.
Not even $5.
I remember when I used to be able to get a soda pop on the corner. 35 cents.
Wow. Okay.
What am I thinking? I remember getting it for 10 cents when I was even younger. I mean, what's the most affordable soda pop you've ever got in your whole life?
I don't know. 250?
Jesus fucking Christ. Oh, you know, that reminds me of my idea. You remember my idea?
Do I remember your idea? No.
Yeah, my idea for... They should put a day at the store where all the seniors can come in and they can pay the prices that they remember. Just to honor their...
Yeah, what if
their
they
work and
they remember the wrong price?
They could check the records, or I don't know. And I mean, they could. Someone has dementia and they say it's free or whatever. Like, I don't know. Maybe honor their service by giving it to them for free. And when I say service, I don't mean in the military necessarily. Although often I'm thinking of service at desks, bus drivers, regular working people who put in their time. We should get a day where we go to the store and the prices are just like we used to remember. Wouldn't that be good, grandson?
It wouldn't be good for me. I guess you could buy me things.
Not everything's about you, kid. Not feeling honored right now.
I honor you, Grandpa.
And someday some kids will come along to honor you, but I gotta watch my show. I don't know, you wanna pop a squat with me and...
Well, not if you say it like that, but yeah. Seriously Wrong?
You're gonna have to help me with these remotes. I don't want to hit the wrong one, and then I'm going to have to call your uncle over and everything. Which one was it again to turn on the television?
It's the on, that one.
This one, okay.
The on, yeah.
And I'll just press this button, and...
Seriously Wrong. Seriously Wrong. Seriously Wrong. Seriously Wrong. Seriously Wrong. 1, 2, 3. Seriously Wrong. Seriously Wrong. Seriously Wrong.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Seriously Wrong podcast. We are your humble hosts, Sean and Aaron. We hope that your fridges are full, your prices are low, and everything on your shopping list is checked off. Welcome to the show. This voice is Sean, if it's your first time listening.
Yeah, my name is
Aaron.
If you're
a long-time listener.
You already know that.
Yeah.
We're a show, we've long supported groceries. We've long supported low prices for groceries. We've taken a stand on that. We've never wavered.
We've been steadfast in this, that prices should be low. The ideal price for groceries is $0.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of celebrities, they have podcasts these days. You know, some actor or whatever. I saw Alec Baldwin has one. It's called Here's the Thing with Alec Baldwin. So if you want to hear Alec Baldwin's various takes, you can get in on that. But, you know, these celebrities, they don't really have their ear to the ground. They're not going to the grocery store themselves in many cases. Sorry, Alec.
Right.
And as a, you know, Salt of the Earth podcast, we do buy our own groceries.
I don't even blame the celebrities necessarily. You know, they got swept up in this thing and people are offering to go buy their groceries for them. It's not that they're evil, but they are out of touch.
And I don't blame them for having podcasts either. You know, the industry's changed with streaming and these mega corps consolidating. They're more risk averse. There's less projects. Yeah.
When I see a celebrity reacting to their own TV show on YouTube, I think good for them. Why not cash in a little bit on that?
I don't think good for them. I think like, not in a judgmental way, but almost like a sympathetic way.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Wow. We're not taking care of our celebrities as a society.
I see the views they're getting on that. And I'm not going to say who I'm referencing, but bless them. I think they made some good YouTube revenue there. Buy a lot of groceries with that. But yeah, I mean, let's be real. Right now, the prices are out of control at grocery stores, in my opinion. Have been for a while, and they're just more and more. You know, you start to relate a lot more to the adults when you were a kid who just seemed obsessed with pointing out prices. And you're like, really? $4.50 for a box of granola bars? Damn.
This used to be, we've made jokes about this on the show over time, but it's been very palpable my whole life that it just seemed like adults and older people were obsessed with prices. And like you're at a family gathering and everyone's talking about like a good price they saw. And it's like, what about art? What about music? What about nature? You saw a price? You guys are all talking about a price?
Oh, it's like art, music, nature, that stuff is always there. There's lots of it. There's lots to discuss, but a low price, that's like, you know, you spotted something rare.
Yeah, it's like they saw a rare bird. I was at the grocery store. They were these granola bars. They were 99 cents. I swear to God.
Oh my God.
I loaded up. I loaded up.
I was on a little road trip a few weeks ago and stopping at gas stations, just noticing the price on a 600 milliliter bottle of sodas. They were like $3.75 in like a normal gas station.
Sheesh.
You know, when I was a kid, they were like $1.50, I think, $1.50, and it would be like $1 for the can. And then sometimes at like the airport, it would be like $3, and you'd be like, what the heck?
Highway robbery.
$3.75 at a normal gas station.
It's true, though. You know, a lot of stuff right now that used to be $2.50, it's $4.50. What the heck? I have had this feeling. Like, I do have this feeling stuff a lot of being like, $9 for cereal? What do you think? I was born yesterday? It's so funny. I just remember like my whole life hearing senior citizens and like parents and uncles and shit just being like, ah, man. I can't believe the cereal was $6. Can you believe that? And it's like, okay, whatever, old man. And then I'm at the grocery store and I'm like, what? I remember where this was $4.50.
It still feels like it should be. And they were right the whole time, it turns out. It's a feeling that you notice and like, yeah, you can be like, oh, wages also increase and maybe not by as much and whatever. But that feeling that everything around you is constantly pushing in a little more price-wise, it's always going up. It's like a lifelong guttural fear that you're going to not be okay. And every time you see a high price, it just hits you in that a little bit. And it's hard not to be a little terrified at the $9 cereal or the whatever. What if they raise it to $20 the next day? Or what if, and then I won't be able to keep up.
Another grocery shopping feeling is when you get to the checkout, you made all your little choices, and they're like, the total's $290. And you're like, $290? And you're looking through your receipt. Where does that come from? You're like, oh, $20 here. That's a couple $8 there. It's plus the tax. Yeah, $290. Wow, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's rough. The total? It's one of the worst parts of grocery shopping.
Yeah, no, I like the walking down the aisle being like a little of this, a little of that, but I hate I hate the ending.
I like putting things in the basket and imagining having it and getting to pick, but also grocery stores aren't like the best environments. Usually they're very bright, sterile. Sometimes there's a lot of people. If there's a lot of lineups, they can be overstimulating.
Yeah, sometimes I can be in the groove in a grocery store, but other times not.
Yeah.
You know, one thing that they like rearranged, I think they do this intentionally, like they rearrange the grocery store periodically so you can't find the things that you're just there to get. I know that they put the milk at the back. The milk and cheese is always at the back of the grocery store, and that's like a old grocery store owner trick to like make people walk through the entire grocery store to buy staples so they can increase the chance that they're going to be like, ooh, I haven't had olives in a while or whatever. I noticed this recently because I was making a quick trip to grab some stuff to round out a recipe for dinner. And it took so long to find everything because the whole store had been shuffled like a deck of cards. So I'm like zipping back and forth, totally inefficient pathway. And yeah, that shit's annoying. the coherence of the grocery layout is something that we're at war with these grocery providers. They want it to be incoherent and challenging. And then also you have the ethnic food or whatever. I don't know what they call it. They used to call it the ethnic food aisle. I objected to that always.
International.
And then, but then there's also a noodle section. And it's like, okay, am I going to the noodle section or am I going to the international section to get these noodles? Because a lot of noodles come from around the world.
International section slaps, to be honest. There's like always some interesting snacks in there. And the spices are usually cheaper than the other spice section. Because, yeah, there's like two spices sections that have a lot of overlapping spices. Check the international aisle for your spices, is my advice. And it is kind of weird that it can't just be distributed with everything else. I don't know why it's all the noodles together, all the spices together.
That'd be too coherent. That would be too good for the workers of the world.
It doesn't segregate off the internationals enough.
And then it's the same, like my partner, she prefers the gluten-free bread. And it's frequently not with the bread. It's like in, maybe it's with, some of it comes frozen, fair enough. But like, They should, first of all, the prices should be low, number one. And number two, my grievances of the grocery store. Number two, put bread with bread. If I want to find bread, I just want to go for a sign that says bread.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes there's the bakery bread in one area and then the non-bakery bread in a separate area. And then, yeah, also like specialty breads or whatever in even a third area. It's madness. It's chaos.
Yeah, it's trickery. It's you know, trickery.
I can understand needing to reorganize a store. Maybe if certain things aren't selling as well, you know, we're selling less potato chips now. So the snack aisle, maybe we should put it in this one because it's a shorter aisle and then we'll have more room for this or something. I'm sure there's considerations like that that come into play, but if you're just moving stuff around to confuse people, keep them in the store longer, hope they see something else they want to buy, that's not okay. It's not nice, especially when people just want food.
That's grocery trickery right there, and I'm against it. I also had an experience recently where I was looking for cheese. I was looking for a certain type of cheese, and I went, I'm like looking around, and I find like this whole bundle of cheese. I'm like, oh, this is all the cheese they have, I guess, so I guess I'll get this one. Then I'm, you know, walking around doing my business. I find a whole second cheese section. And I'm like, what the fuck? I've already put all this time deliberating in this fake cheese section. And now I got to put back this cheese that I didn't actually want that was going to be good enough. That's trickery. And then you add on top of that, this cheese is $9. It used to be $4. What the heck?
Do you do shopping lists? Is that part of your family's routine? Because I don't. I try to sometimes, but it's never up to date. Like I forgot things on it, or I forget to bring it with me. Or if I try to do an app, I don't do it. I've even like had the list and brought the list to the store and then left the store realizing I didn't actually look at the list in the store. I just bringing it with me made it me feel good. And then when I left, I realized I forgot one of the things on it. So yeah, I just do my best to brute force, remember what I need based on vibes and try to hit all the same aisles and be like, oh yeah, did I need this thing? And if I think I did, then just get it.
Yeah, in general, personally, I've lived a very vibes-based life. I have used shopping lists before. For a while before we had kids, me and my partner had a shared shopping list, like app thing that we used successfully, where like we both added to it, we both removed it, we would like uncheck something when we ran out of it and stuff like that. And it was a good system, but it just eventually like fell apart. Yeah, like the social infrastructure of the remembering and the mutually talking about it and the reinforcing of it fell apart after we had our first kid. Often I'll get like an assignment list for my partner of like, I'm going to the store, let me know if we need anything. And then she'll like send me like 8 things as a text or whatever.
Right.
But yeah, generally I'm pretty vibes based. I'm also really bad at like remembering at the grocery store later. Let me do a survey of what we need. I can usually remember if I was the one who finished something off recently, like, oh, I just finished the peanut butter. I'm going to grab some peanut butter. But that's not like a list thing. That's more like a vibe of walking by the peanut butter section. And it's like a prompt to be like, oh, I just scraped out the bottom and then washed out this container. I'm going to grab that.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, very, very disorganized.
Living alone, being single, I finish everything off myself. So I think that definitely helps, like, know what I need, because the recent memory of, oh yeah, that I just turned the milk carton upside down and shook it to get the last few drops out, that happened more recently than, yeah.
Do you have any household tactics to like reduce food waste? Like, do you do an inventory of like stuff that's on the way out and then like make some sort of carrots and kimchi dish or whatever, like just trying to clear it out?
Yeah. I don't know if it's a tactic so much as it's just I see things in the fridge, like things that look perishable, and I feel like I should eat it. And if I don't eat it because I don't want to eat it, then the feeling like I should eat it, like that guilty feeling, grows. And sometimes it just continues to grow until the thing's bad, and then I throw it out and it disappears. But often the guilty feeling leads me to eat things in that moment where it's like, okay, this is the last day I would eat these leftovers without feeling like maybe I'm going to make myself sick or something. Like, it's been a few days, it's still in the fridge. It's like, this pizza's a little dried out, but I'm sure it's still good. I'm going to eat it because I don't want to throw it out. Yeah, that's also more of a vibes-based thing. There's no real tactic. Sometimes I do throw stuff in the freezer. Sometimes that's a bit of a tactic. If I'm like, I'm really not going to eat this, but maybe I'll eat it later. And then throwing it in the freezer just starts that over again, but on like a longer time frame. But where until it's been in the freezer too long that it's freezer burnt and I'm still not going to eat it. But
yeah, that just reminds me of another boomer style grievance I have, which is that I moved into a new place with my partner like a year ago. And one of our amenities was a new fridge. Like, oh boy, a new fridge. But the freezer on these fridges, these new fridges, they're so small. It just fills up with, you can't buy anything frozen unless you're using it immediately. Like, it's all based on the assumption that like everyone who has a freezer is also going to have like a deep freeze. And we don't have a deep freeze. So it's like our freezer's always like at capacity. And if you don't have real space to like store frozen food, then yeah, you're like stuck in this cycle of like, how do I get rid of all this stuff quickly all the time? Whereas like, you can't just stack for the future the same way of being like, yeah, I've got a whack load of chicken and whatever else tucked away for the right time at the right reasons. It's like that chicken is staring at me, and if I don't cook it in the next few days, it's wasted, and I've contributed to wasting my money and destroying the planet.
Again, it's that guilt thing. It's sometimes I'm like calculating, oh, I remember when I bought this thing, I bought five of these for $20 or whatever, but now I didn't finish three of them. So what, I paid $10 each? Oh my God, I'm such a sucker too. Like, partially the guilt of not finishing food turns into like, oh, I just increased the price on myself. God, I'm such a sucker. I thought I was getting a good deal. This happened with, I got into oatmeal for like a few weeks, and I was like, this is such a cheap, great little meal to have. And then I was at Costco, and I'm like, I'm going to buy this giant fucking box of oatmeal. And then I ate like a quarter of the giant box of oatmeal over the course of 2.5 years or something. And I just recently, and then I didn't eat any of it for like another year and a half and just let it sit there. And I was just recently decided to get rid of it. And yeah, felt bad that I spent this money on this giant box of oatmeal for no reason.
Yeah, I get why the Alec Baldwins of the world get assistance for this shit, because it's like a full-time job. It's a full-time job to remember to keep eating your oatmeal. But I do love oatmeal. Oatmeal is very affordable. So you mix it with, you get like some raisins, maybe some seeds, some frozen blueberries or something. Like, make a little oatmeal stack in the morning. It's like a great way to start the day. very affordable. And there's things like that for other meals too. Like I was just talking to my partner about this because we got two kids. She's reached the point of her maternity leave on the second kid where it's like the amount of money coming into the house is down, and we're like trying to strategize where to cut costs and figure out what maybe my proposal was, that we figured out some good staple fallback meals that are like your bean dish, your oatmeals, and because you can calculate it out, and it's like we just fed four people for like $6, and then
chili, freeze some chili is a good one. That's my suggestion.
There's no room in my freezer because I bought I bought something frozen once 6 months ago. But man, this is there anything like vibrant and young and hopeful about groceries that we can talk about? Because I'm just feeling like such a fucking shriveling
old. Yeah, it's real boomer hour this episode. Have you ever thought about getting a second freezer? Like a big freezer. I've just, some of my friends have houses, things like that. They're like, I went to one of my friend's house. He had two big freezers in the basement. And like, I was like, oh yeah, man, imagine that. Imagine how great that would be. He just threw this whole flat of water in there to like freeze all these water bottles to have for this road trip in the summer. Like, yeah, imagine that. Maybe I should move things around, get a giant freezer. But yeah, in terms of young and hopeful, I don't know.
Today's episode of Seriously Wrong is brought to you by Wrongtown Safe and Affordable Local Grocery. Joe customers tired of getting dicked around by big box chains. We need a grocery revolution.
$8? What? They're just dicking me around at this point.
Wrongtown Safe and Affordable Community Grocery is transforming the grocery sector to give power back to the people. These big box stores have been shitting on the little guy for too long. We need to rise up and revolt with a customer's movement. Wrongtown Safe and Affordable Community Groceries. It's a revolution.
Wrongtown Safe and Affordable Groceries is a fully owned subsidiary of Wrongmart.
The following is a paid political advertisement and does not reflect the opinions of the Seriously Wrong podcast.
Hello, everybody. My name is Grocery Baron Wrongson, CEO and owner of Wrongmart. I'm here to announce today that I'm running for mayor of Wrongtown. That's right. For too long in this city, people have been bombarded with high prices. Nothing like they remember from when they were children. When I'm mayor of this city, I promise to bring the people low prices, great selection, goodness, and fresh local ingredients. Just what you get at Wrongmart every single week. You know, people ask me why I wanted to run for mayor, and I say, the heart of my campaign, the heart of all campaigns, really, is money. You know, I'm not just a grocery baron, I'm a father, a family man. I know what it's like to have to provide for your family and to show how serious I am about low prices. For the rest of the campaign, we are offering 10% off at all 68 Wrongmart locations. My campaign will mean less money spent at the grocery store and more money stashed away under your baby's crib for when they go to college. And who knows, if you vote me in, that price dip might just be permanent. You've welcomed Wrong Market products and services into your homes and lives for the past 25 years. Now we can bring that same farm-fresh attitude to the mayor's office.
Vote for Grocery Baron Wrongson on July 18th. More money in your pocket. Money, money, money for you.
Breaking news at this hour. Welcome back to Wrongtown News. We are your hosts, Sean and Aaron. We have just gotten shocking news on both the grocery scene and the mayoral race, as it is reported that Grocery Baron Wrongson has passed away at the age of 64 while at sea on a pedophile cruise.
The longtime grocery mogul and favorite in the recent mayoral campaign shocked the world today by dying on that pedophile cruise.
Witnesses say no monocle was unpopped.
And it has thrown a massive wrench into groceries and mayorship in the city going forward.
It's also sparked off a succession drama between his two twin bald adult sons, both bald all the way, shaved and shined.
That's right. Kirk Rongson and Jeff Rongson are at each other's throats. And while they've mostly been background characters, they're really coming to the forefront, and they could not be more different.
Kirk Rongson, known as the steady administrative hand at Rongmart head office, the favorite of his father, many say that he's just like his dad, mm-hmm. with a strong business sense, and honestly looks quite a bit like him. His twin, Jeff Rongson, he is just the total opposite, sources say. He is the rebellious, maverick, wild child of the Rongmart business universe, having taken over Rongtown's safe and affordable community grocery after their forced merger in 2018.
And if the fight over who's going to take over Rongmart Industries wasn't enough, both children are also vying for their father's mayoral position at the top of the polls. While giving their dual eulogy at Grocery Baron Rongson's funeral, they both started interrupting each other and talking over one another, trying to announce their mayoral run first.
Pandemonium erupted at this tight-knit family funeral.
Members of the press who were there rushed the casket, just trying to ask questions about the mayoral runs. I know I was there. I wasn't able to get a question in, but it was exciting. Who do you support in the upcoming mayoral race?
Oh, it's hard to choose between
Jeff or Kirk.
That steady administrative hand or the maverick who's going to shake things up.
Both part of the same conglomerate, both part of the same family, but
no, I think
such a different approach.
I'm going to say something out of the norm here, but this is just my personal opinion. If one of them didn't shave their whole head and instead kept kind of a tasteful you of the aging man, mm-hmm. I feel like that'd be very destigmatizing. And
that would earn your vote.
It would earn my vote, most certainly, in a tiebreaker neck and neck race like this. But for now, I'm going to have to watch and wait.
I think that's all any of us can really do is watch and wait.
Today's episode of Rongtown News is brought to you, as usual, by Rongmart LLC Mega Grocer Conglomerate. We just want to thank them for their continued financial support of our news services, research, and editorial line. You know, another thing that my dad always complains about, he's in his 60s, he adamantly, like, not just hates, but refuses to use self-checkout machines. And he tells me this all the time when we talk. It's like, I was at the store, there was only a self-checkout, I made the person do it for me on principle, or there was no one to do it for me, so I just left. I just said, hey, I'm putting this down, I'm leaving, because you've only got self-checkout. It, like, really matters to him that there's not that social process in purchasing his groceries or goods anymore. I've never really cared or minded self-checkouts in particular, but they are, like, really annoying sometimes. Like, sometimes they're so loud, just blasting, or something stupid will happen, like you need to call an attendant over because the barcode doesn't work correctly or something.
Oh, yeah.
Or,
like, it's scanned two of them and you can't remove one without their permission.
Yeah, that's another aspect of shopping for groceries.
Yeah, checkouts. I don't like checkout lines too, especially when stores don't have the space for it and the line is just in the aisle that a lot of people are also trying to walk down, and you're doing this dance of leaving space for people to go in front of you, but not leaving so much space that someone else thinks that you're not in the line and they try and stand in front of you. And then you got to be like, oh, hey, sorry, line's over here. It's another way they're kind of like inhumanly designed. Some places have it locked down where they'll have like an actual specific line area, but it's one thing I'll agree with anti-communists on is waiting in line for food is really annoying, and I do it all the time in our current society.
Also, just like the vibe of grocery stores is really different from location to location, and my understanding is just like where there's less grocery stores, prices are higher because there's less competition, there's less people can't pick and choose. And then also newer grocery stores that are established more recently will always have higher prices because they're paying higher rents. Whereas at least how it works in BC, is like a lot of stores will have 20-year leases. So they'll be paying rent that was negotiated in the year 2008. So they can afford lower prices. And then if they have to renew their lease, a lot of the time they'll just shut down because their whole business model is built on a specific amount of rent. And then if a new grocery store comes in their place, it's like embedding all that land value growth and pocket padding for another layer of the rich into like every grocery order.
Yeah, it's the rent is too damn high along with all the prices. And like you're not just paying rent when you pay rent, you're paying rent when you pay for groceries, anything that, yeah, requires a major storefront and stuff. Those damn lords still getting their greasy fingers in our pockets everywhere they can.
Yeah, and it's also, I mean, it's like pushing, yeah, especially with kids, it's really clear how much people are like pushed into car culture. Because if you want to go to, unless you like live, if you're lucky enough to live really close to a long-term local community grocer with affordable prices, your local grocery option is almost always the most walkable place is going to be some sort of like box store with a bunch of embedded extra costs in the groceries. So if you want to get a better price on groceries, you have to drive and get them. And just like carrying bags of groceries home, walking. Some people use carts and things like that to those wheelie carts they drag behind them and stuff to deal with that. But
yeah,
the way all these systems of extraction and exploitation intersect together into a bunch of mild inconveniences that don't quite meet the criteria of dystopian, it's pretty dystopian, actually.
Yeah, I think if you have enough 10% dystopias, it adds up to mostly a dystopia, even if you could be like, theoretically, if they're all 10% of the remaining 90%, it never reaches fully 100% because it's always only 10% of what's left. But you start to get pretty damn close.
Something I found really interesting in the political context, I was doing some research on school meal programs for kids. I feel like I mentioned this to a bunch of different people, and I always just kind of, people aren't as interested in this as me, but I just find it fascinating. Is there was a study that I was reading from the US about neighborhoods where the school system provided breakfast programs for kids or lunch programs for kids. And in the radius in school districts that do that, grocery prices are lower on average because part of the price pressure on these grocery stores to like move all the supply through, recoup their costs and not have a bunch of waste is like families buying food for breakfast and lunches for kids. You take that out of the grocery system to a significant degree. You have the school board or school system purchasing food in bulk for the purposes of producing breakfasts and lunches for kids. And the impact is that prices at grocery stores lower for everyone, even people who don't have kids in school. And I thought that was so cool because it's like a social program for public benefit. It's targeted at kids. Kids need food to learn well. You know, there's children in poverty who are not well fed. They don't learn as well. They act out more. They have worse mental health outcomes. These are all things that came up in this research. But then in particular, like if you do that in this targeted way for the benefit of the youth, there's a second order effect, which is that everyone around them pays less money for groceries. And that's so fucking cool. Like, it's so cool. Like the indirect effect of this targeted program of social benefit is a general social benefit of prices being lower. And I feel like, I don't know, I've told this to like 6 or 7 people since I found it out. And like every time I just feel like no one thinks it's as cool as I do. But there's a fascinating principle there about how public services, even ones that are targeted, can create this like networked effect for the benefit of everyone. I just think that's like the coolest shit ever.
Yeah, no, like the multiplicative effects of these kinds of things is like finding those policies and finding those areas are where you're going to get like the biggest gains in making society better for these targeted interventions that can really make a big difference. I get what's exciting about that for sure. When you think, one of the reasons I'd argue for really robust social housing or like a public option for housing for everyone is that if everyone had the option for income tied housing, whether you're really rich, really poor, whatever, it's a percentage of your income, the vast majority of people would be able to move into social housing like that if it was abundantly available for less money than market rate rents, which would provide competition for market rate rentals and bring down the prices on those to a level that's probably not as low as the subsidized housing. But yeah, it adds a new factor into the system that benefits even the people who aren't getting it. Hi, my name is Kirk Wrongson, acting CEO of the Wrongmart mega conglomerate with 68 locations. With me here today is my white picket fence, my loving family, and my dependable mid-sized sedan. As you all know, Grocery Baron Wrongson, my father, passed away. It's caused a lot of soul searching here at Wrongmart mega conglomerate with 68 locations, and to celebrate his legacy, we've decided to do a week of mourning sale. We are going to mourn Dad with some of the prices he remembers from when he was a kid on some of his favorite foods. So plums are going to be 50% off, frozen pizzas, 3 for 1, that's right. And we are launching Shrimp Mania, just 28 cents a pound. Now those are prices just like the old days. Now, this week of mourning sale, it isn't just about mourning my dad. It's about honoring all of the elders of our society and the prices they remember, because they might not have much time left. So why don't you swing on by Wrongmart on the way home and show a little respect for your elders.
Hey everyone, I'm Jeff Wrongson, and this is my recording studio. This here's my dog, Hunter, half wild wolf. And over there, my all-terrain vehicle, painted with both flames and racing stripes. You might have seen in the news that my old man croaked. And it's no secret that we had our differences. The old bastard tried to cut me out of his will, but my lawyers found a meaningful error. I'm the CEO of Wrongtown Safe and Affordable Community Grocery, or as I like to call it, the family lead. Now, my dad always talked big game about low prices, but I've seen the minutes. I've been in the board meetings. He was trying to drive prices higher. So to stick it to him, we're launching the Stick It to Dad Week sale. We're gonna have a plum price revolution at 55% off. Frozen pizzas are 4 for 1. And we're launching my baby, my special project, Shrimp Insanity, which is just 26 cents a pound for people under the age of 55. Sorry, Grandpa, your frail body just doesn't need that much shrimp. We're still growing. Now, a lot of people say I'm just like my mother, the gregarious socialite and the light of the high-class Wrongtown social scene. And that's probably true. She was on the side of the people as well. And I will say, when she died under mysterious circumstances, I was not satisfied with that investigation. And once I get access to my rightfully owed inheritance, we are going to get justice for her against whoever was responsible. So if you're in the neighborhood today, make it out to one of our 34 Wrongtown Safe and Affordable Community Grocery locations with the most eye-popping and eyebrow-raising prices that only a maverick can give. It's time for a revolt, a revolution of the citizenry against these price barons, and honestly, all of our dads. Wrongtown Safe and Affordable Community Groceries. The people have a right to revolution.
Have you heard about all this scandal that's surrounding Wrongtown Safe and Affordable Community Grocery?
I don't shop there anymore.
No.
It's gone to hell since that crazy bastard took over.
High prices aside, which,
it's not even safe anymore.
It's not safe. It's not affordable. I think you just need a steady hand in the CEO chair. You need a workhorse, not a rogue maverick who, frankly, who knows what they're going to do.
I mean, people are saying that Wrongtown Safe and Affordable Community Grocery had their safety procedures audited by the Independent Grocery Safety Authority 4 times within 1 year. They wouldn't be doing that unless there was major problems behind the scenes.
One time I went there and the punk kid they had behind the shrimp counter was picking his nose before scooping the shrimp up with his hands. I said, no, thank you.
Well, they're anarchists. They don't believe
in washing your hands. They don't believe in listening to bosses.
That's right. And then they pass the high prices down to you.
And I'm sick and tired of these charismatic maverick wild child. My eyebrows need a rest.
Yeah, so my eyes don't pop out of my head when I see the receipt.
I've got kids to feed.
And all that business with the mother's death and...
Oh, please.
He is just looking for sympathy.
Enough of the theatrics.
Dredging up old things over and over. There was a third party investigation.
No, I looked into this. It was ruled an accident. She was drinking at the time, as she's known to do, and she was balancing unsafely.
We've all seen the paparazzi shots. We know she was prone to poor balance.
And biometric data confirmed that Grocery Baron Rongson was sound asleep at the time.
Right, someone else was wearing his smartwatch? I don't think so. Grocery Baron Rongson was a stand-up community member and CEO. The way his son is smearing his name is frankly disgusting. And I know where I'm shopping and who I'm voting for mayor.
And that alleged housekeeper witness had an axe to grind and had a similar drinking problem.
Wasn't she caught stealing? That's what I heard.
A lot of people are saying that, but we all know it's locked tight under an NDA, just like she wanted. Rongmart Grocery Mega Conglomerate. The safe, affordable, reliable choice with more locations and actual safety that tells the truth. If you're in the neighborhood, swing by to show your support for our elderly community. Rongmart Grocery Conglomerate wants you to believe that they are squeaky clean as part of their strategy of misleading customers and driving up prices. But leaked documents reveal a confidential internal strategy to close the community grocers that challenge their monopoly and raise prices. It was reported in the Wrongtown Press earlier this year that there was an attempt at a corporate coup, a plot to stoke a drug relapse in the conscience of the board and push them out with a trumped-up cocaine party honeypot. This immoral corporate plot was so badly mishandled that they were caught in the act and two board members resigned. But that's not all. They were also caught red-handed surveilling customers who criticized misleading coupons online, removing shopping points from their account that would allow them to access discounts, and blacklisting them from future sales. Most concerningly, Kirk Rongson, it is alleged by a whistleblower, cheated on his wife and is not the family man that Rongmart makes him out to be. We have that whistleblower here with us today.
I met Kirk at the local tennis club and we really hit things off, and I didn't really know who he was at the time. It was kind of a whirlwind romance at first. It was perfect. He took me horseback riding, took me out on the lake, kissed me under the moon and said I was beautiful. All the safe and affordable shrimp that I could eat. It was mesmerizing at first, but then the cracks started to show. Eventually, I found out he was living a double life. He had a family beside me, and the squeaky clean image that he put forward was an absolute lie, and he's a dirty, dirty man and liar. And the most insulting part of it was, after I came forward with these allegations, I found that my Rongmart rewards card had been stripped of all its points. I was no longer able to get the discounts that I'd earned through my shopping. Even coupons that didn't specify you had to be a cardholder, they didn't work. So I was left alone in my apartment crying about a breakup, having to pay full price for ice cream.
Rongmart betrays families and raises prices. Shopping there makes you a bad person. So come on down to Wrongtown Safe and Affordable Community Groceries. It's safe, affordable, local, and it's a revolution. Don't let predators off the hook. Come on down to Wrongtown Safe and Affordable Community Grocery.
The other grocery thing that's been in the news lately...
Diarrhea parasites.
Government run. Oh, yeah. Diarrhea parasites.
Oh, sorry.
Not where I was going. I was talking about government run grocery stores in New York. You know, it was a campaign promise. Now it's been announced that five are going to be opening. These grocery stores are going to sell things for 30% less than normal grocery stores. And I was just scrolling the socials the other day and people are like, the sequences of events people are describing are like, most grocery stores run on a 2 to 3% profit margin. That means they'll be undercut by 27% and they won't be able to match these prices. So they will put all other grocery stores out of business. And then soon it will only be government grocery stores in the city. And then the shortages will start. And then step after step of doom that's going to come about by making groceries cheaper. If you make groceries cheaper, the end of the world is nigh. Or also that people are going to just load up their carts and then go sell them for more money at their other grocery stores or whatever. Like, if I was running another grocery store, I would go to the government-run grocery store, buy all their stuff, and then sell it for 15% cheaper than market value. And like, acting like there's no way to fix that is funny too, because also, like, Costco sells groceries for cheaper than most grocery stores. And like, you do see businesses going into Costco and like loading up carts with a ton of stuff. And Costco will limit you if they are worried about that for specific items. But it would be difficult for you to stock an entire grocery store through individual runs to another grocery store. Like, you'd have to hire a bunch of people or keep going through the lineup over and over again with your cart full, or like driving to the different grocery stores around the city. People are scared. They're scared of cheap groceries.
Yeah, I don't think any of those are real. They're also mutually incompatible. Like, either the other grocery stores will go out of business, or they will be buoyed by their new access to more affordable, higher margin. Like, if it's like, yeah, if you can get a 15% margin by doing this instead of a 3% margin, then, well, it's actually, you know, you're stimulating the grocery economy, and the final prices are lower for consumers at the end. I don't know, it just sounds like a bunch of made up shit to me, but I'm definitely down with public options for things as a way to target financial relief, especially to lower income people. That seems good to me. So, like, yeah, I don't know. You try it out. You see how it goes. You make adjustments. It seems like there's an unambiguous public benefit there. So, sounds good to me. But I haven't done a full research dive into the upsides and downsides of public.
Yeah, their implementation.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if it is the best way to get cheaper food to people. I would definitely like more library-esque solutions. I think there could be a lot more there that would also have like side community benefits and stuff that would be good. But then also I can see public run grocery stores, especially if they are popular and do well, having the side benefit of normalizing the idea of, yeah, public options for things, or the government can run a thing and it be okay. I'm not even sure how much the government runs them or I don't know all the details. I saw someone saying it was like they were giving them subsidies on rent, but they would still be run by individual owners or something. I don't know. They're supposed to be 30% off, which from a price standpoint, that makes my eyes go wide. I would be swinging by that grocery store if there was one in Vancouver. 30% off staple goods. I'd probably still go to the regular grocery store sometimes, but when I wanted some of those discounted items, I'd definitely be hitting it up.
Yeah, usually with most public benefit programs in the current day, at least, things are being like run by nonprofits or other like semi-independent groups under like government regulations and subsidy. Like, it's definitely not the case like New York City is going to be approving every individual expenditure. Practically, that's how most policy currently works. Actually, just to talk briefly about diarrhea parasites, The Trump administration has cut funding to different food safety programs and protocols. And one of the emergent benefits is a parasite connected to probably fresh produce. I heard a list of different potential sources. I heard of a particular company that's identified as a likely source, but there might be more than one source of the outbreak. This parasite will give you diarrhea for weeks, and I guess it can be treated with medicine, but there is a risk of people actually like dying from it from a lack of water, which is like, I can't remember the stats, but like a huge amount of people in the world die from diarrhea each year on that basis. they shrivel themselves up like a little prune by blasting all their water out of their butthole.
Right.
So yeah, that's cool. I mean, it shows part of the benefit of like social collectivity around public policy, and with food in particular, is like food safety is very important. And the kind of like libertarian market idea that if one provider gives you weeks and weeks of diarrhea, people will simply stop using that provider or something like that. They'll go out of business. The safe companies will succeed is...
Yeah, it's goofier with providers, because like when you're going to buy food, your provider in your mind is maybe the brand that the food comes in at the grocery store, or maybe the specific grocery store, or maybe the restaurant. But none of those things really isolate for like a provider source in terms of one big food company behind the like UNESCO or fucking what's that other big one? Who cares? They're providing the food to most restaurants. They're providing the food to most grocery stores. All the separate brands are in these big conglomerates together with one brand. And then even those big conglomerates are getting a lot of their ingredients from these same monolithic providers. It doesn't really work that way. Like UNESCO isn't going out of business because of some outbreak of something that happens in one other thing. That's just doesn't work that way. But, and also getting rid of food safety regulations is really bad and dumb and predictably leads to things like this. So sucks for those people who have all that diarrhea. I hope they're okay, even though I know some of them won't be.
Yeah. If you got the parasite diarrhea, sound off in the comments.
Welcome back to the Wrong Town Mayoral Debate. Candidates, Kirk, Jeff, Wrongson and Wrongson, two bald heirs to a grocery baron. Why should you be Wrong Town's next mayor? Tell us.
Hey, I'm Jeff Wrongson. Now, the reason we need a Jeff in the mayor's office is we need to flip the table. People are pissed. They've got their pitchforks ready. Prices are rising too fast. And these big corporate giants are shitting on all of us.
Excuse me, what my disheveled wild child brother is saying is not practical. There's other concerns, like safe groceries, which he doesn't have the best track record with, let's be honest.
Okay, well, we're exceeding industry benchmarks.
My candidacy is about steady leadership that isn't going to kill you or your children.
That is a rumor. That is your rumor.
Oh, you want to talk about rumors and who's slinging rumors, playing dirty tricks?
Yeah, the only thing dirty around here is your shrimp containers.
Our shrimp containers are tested weekly.
Leaked documents are on the way to the media right now.
They ace those
tests. We already
tests.
Saw it in the Oppo file. Just want to call out to our whistleblower in the audience. Thank you for being here. Can you stand up? Yeah, there she is.
She's a proven liar. You're hiring fake whistleblowers to
we
lie.
We paid her for her story, okay?
I know you did. That's
a
what
lot
I'm saying.
Of people are afraid to speak up.
With lies.
You got to sweeten it for them. No, it's not a lie. I mean, you know about lying. You were on this so-called independent panel.
I was there to ensure the independence. It was an important job. I had to do it myself.
There's two witnesses pushed off the record. They weren't even mentioned in the report.
You could have been part of the independent panel. You were invited. You just never responded. I guess another cocaine bender? That's what our Oppo research is telling us.
I have been public about my struggles and recovery journey. That's actually relatable to a lot of people, according to the polling.
What I'm hearing from the polling is people want to know just how much taxpayer dollars you're planning to snort up your nose.
Zero. Let me be clear.
Oh, so you'll be paying for the
zero
cocaine.
Zero taxpayer dollars are going up my nose.
The money people spend at your grocery
and
store.
And that is a commitment today.
Even if the allegations against me were true, what are they? I took someone on a horseback ride, brought them out to a lake. Those are nice things.
I think there's a lot of people watching. They're hearing horse rides. Is that part of the prices? Am I paying for these extracurricular horse rides behind the back of the mother of my children?
No. It's not me sweaty, greasy, and disheveled walking down the street, cocaine dripping out of my nose for all the children to see.
Can I just say as well, the corruption is outrageous at your organization, and I know because I'm actually part of that organization as well.
Here's my cup of water.
And I feel...
Yeah, that's another thing. You're...
Get your water, please.
Always talking against the conglomerate, but you are still technically a part of it. That makes you a hypocrite. Did you poison my water?
No, I did not poison your water.
I feel really poisoned right now.
I've been struck by a bout of poison as well.
Moderator, if I die, please have my glass dusted for his fingerprints.
And I think this actually shows your character quite a bit.
It shows my character that you poisoned me?
You actually have seemed to have poisoned me.
Now you're pretending to be poisoned.
Sorry, moderator, just let the record be show that I did not poison. I do not poison. I will not poison. That's a commitment.
Moderator, we're going to have to end the debate.
Something really wrong, moderator. Something really wrong.
Breaking news. Jeff and Kirk Wrongson, both dead. They died today during the Wrongtown mayoral debate at the podium, accusing each other of having poisoned each other.
Exclusive sources to Wrongtown News indicated they were both poisoned in a bad batch of shrimp on a secret elite pedophile cruise that morning. They were seen cavorting with one another in a, quote, brotherly way, coordinating on a monopolist electoral and grocery strategy, according to sources who are themselves pedophiles from the cruise.
Well, yeah, well, they have no reason to lie. Oh,
sorry, what's this? I've just been handed some papers. It appears to be a confidential report. This is confirming the testimony entirely.
It's alleged here that their father actually sat them down when they were both eight-year-old boys and laid out a lifelong strategy where they would take on the roles of wild child and favorite son in order to dupe the public into following their lives like a soap opera, keeping them constantly in the news.
All these disputes in public were a type of kayfabe theater for the peons,
allowing them to achieve first grocery dominance, then mayoral dominance, and then world dominance, it says here.
Signed by both of them and their late father. It anticipates his death. This is a bombshell.
Heartbreaking news. I was always a huge Kirk Wrongson fan.
Oh, I know.
You were a Jeff Wrongson fan. We clashed a lot. And so this is rough for both of us.
No, and as news reporters and truth seekers and trusted voices in the community, knowing that we perpetuated their marketing strategy for so long by covering the ups and downs, the breakups, the betrayals, the relapses, it really makes me feel complicit in my ignorance and short-sightedness.
Yeah. As news people, when we get it wrong, all we can do is admit it and try to do better in the future.
And now a word from our sponsor. Today's episode of Wrongtown News is brought to you by Wrongmart. We've shuffled it up all again, so it's hard to find the things you're looking for, and you spend more time wandering around inside while you get texts from your partner asking how long you will be. Wrongmart. Low prices. Family values. No pedophiles allowed. They've got to pay higher prices elsewhere.
Also, just thinking in this political lens about like the food context, like we know that from climate change in the next decades, I think it's already happening now, there'll be food supply pinches where things that used to be abundantly available will not be available because of droughts and other climate problems. And I was just Googling like how much food waste is there. Apparently, in the United States, 40% of the U.S. food supply is wasted, getting from the production from the farms to the grocers, waste at grocers, and then waste from fridges. 4 out of 10 units of food are not consumed. So that means that if we assume that the amount of food that's being consumed right now in the U.S. is meeting everyone's needs on the current system, which is not perfectly true. Like, obviously, there's people who don't have enough food and there's people who eat too much food. That means that we're overproducing by 40% because of inefficiencies within the system. And that's also like an interesting and fruitful area to think about. The sort of like library socialist angle on that is that we can, first of all, like we have enough food for everyone, for no one to ever go hungry already being produced. But also we have the capacity to decrease the amount of food being produced and make everyone fed at a more consistent and reliable rate through better systems management. And there's some cool stuff around, I think in Paris, they have a bylaw that food that is going to be wasted but is still good must be recovered and then utilized for other programs. It also connects to the school meal programs. Like if we were able to capture even the lowest hanging fruit of food waste, like the systematic food waste, and then move that food into producing meals for public benefit, either based on need, like feeding those who are poor, or just making there be free or deeply affordable options around. Like I've had this dream since this fantasy. I actually worked at a grocery store at this time, a grocery store that was right near a subway station. And I was like, it'd be so cool if at this subway station, there was like a food recovery thing where you could get the soup of the day or whatever for dirt cheap, pay for the bowl. Thinking of a utopian alternative to the current food system. And then school meal program thing would also imply to me that doing such things would also lower the price of groceries at the same time. Yeah, there's some utopian musings from how we can bridge the gap between food waste, hunger, and low prices for everyone. Which, yeah, I don't know, low prices to me still sounds like some caveman shit, but it does. People do feel it when they run out of money and they have to choose between food and medicine or rent and food or whatever.
Yeah, it sounds like a marketing phrase, like low prices, like some commercial or something. But I think it's a marketing mainstay because it is such a deeply felt emotional experience to everybody who lives in a price system where everything you need has a number attached to it. How many of your points do you need to give up to get the thing you need? Yeah, it has this veneer, this feeling of something that's base and disrespectable to talk about, or yeah, like a weird fixation of adults when you're a child who doesn't pay for things. But it is your survival, especially food. Yeah, I've always liked the idea too of having food waste programs. It feels like they do try to do things, but they're always weird, like paid services, or there's this app that I use sometimes where you can get cheaper food from certain places, like pizza that's from the by the slice places that they've had in the freezer or whatever that didn't get sold for cheap, or donuts and stuff from bakeries for a little cheaper than normal because it's like a day old. Sometimes you can also just go to places like that and ask if you're brave and they'll give you stuff, but it's not the kind of systematic capture that we'd want to really make these things available. And yeah, it would be cool to have like neighborhood feast centers. You know, every day they get in whatever the grocery stores are giving up and they're like, all right, we're making this big pot of soup tonight. And there's a bunch of these things are about to go bad. So this is the meal. Be like a place for community, for people to get together and eat. It's free food. There's a lot of ways to set things up to organize the distribution of our food better. So that, like you said, we don't have to produce as much and we can get it to more people and prices will go down. Or at the very least, even if prices don't go down, you can get more of it without having to pay a point of service price fee. Actually, yeah, thinking about this too, prices is also where a lot of conservative politics has like a weakness in that, or at least in terms of like social programs, you put them on the back foot with things like public health care or whatever, where you're like, yeah, let's bring the price of health care down to zero. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, that sounds great. And then you have to be like, well, you know, people will be paying taxes and it'll be maybe 1% more on your taxes and a few more percent on the wealthy taxes. It's not really free. Whether or not it's really free or there's some way in which some of your money is going towards it or whatever is one thing. And that's an intellectual argument you can make. And it's been very successful, those kinds of talking points. But it really doesn't beat the sort of guttural low price of, you know, you go up to the cash register at the hospital and they ring you up and say, zero. We don't have cash registers in our hospitals necessarily. I mean, they do give you a bill if you're from out of Canada or don't, yeah, whatever. But just imagining your doctor ringing you up at the end and it's like a big zero. And
do you want to tip?
No price, low prices.
I was just thinking about and scribbling where do prices come from? And like, because there's areas of food prices that you want to minimize, say the profit and marketing of firms. I think it's something like 80% of groceries in Canada go through five big grocery stores. Something like that. It's some really high amount, and some high amount of groceries are going through a very small amount of the grocery giants, where people are paying for like executive salaries and stuff like that. And in neoliberalism, you have an expanding group of management with high salaries, and you have really low paid frontline minimum wage ring up the groceries workers. I would like for people who work at a grocery store to get paid a decent wage where they can afford to have nice things, they can have a good life, and that they're not obsessed with prices the way that our forefathers were and that we increasingly are as we get older. And there's also the marketing for, if you see an ad for a grocery store, then what you're seeing is a fraction of a cent added to every apple to pay for their marketing budget. And like that stuff, I think in my utopia, we'd be zeroing that down. I mean, people get paid a decent wage, and I think being administrator can be a stressful job and stuff. So I'm not saying they should be impoverished, but there's a limit. And there's like the profits, you know, corporations have profits that then go to shareholders and investors. And I think that whole system's kind of broken when it comes to delivering material needs for people. The grocery workers are underpaid. Then you also have the transportation system. So if you're looking at the global movement of groceries and you're buying from providers elsewhere, you have to ship via trucks, boats, the stuff all around the world. It'd be ideal to, I guess, part of the premise of like food security or food sovereignty, regional food production, having people eat food that is primarily local to them is a way that you could be lowering the cost of the transportation, the environmental impacts of the transportation. And then you also have the farm workers themselves who are dealing with food at the source. And especially when you're talking about the global economy, but I think even within Canada, these are also often really exploited workers. I was seeing something recently on social media somewhere that Mr. Beast's chocolate company ended their commitment to not use child labor because their chocolate company got too big and there's not enough providers of chocolate in the world to provide the child labor free chocolate, which they were able
to. Yeah, I saw him explaining this to Joe Rogan.
Yeah, that sounds right. But that is a major. I'm not coming for Mr. Beast and saying this. Obviously, I'm a huge fan. But no, that's a crazy systemic thing of like, there's not enough, because I don't know, people around me are eating chocolate, I think. People listen to this are eating chocolate, and you're eating child labor chocolate, almost guaranteed. So maybe the price of chocolate bars would be higher if there was like a firm global limit on not exploiting children to produce chocolate. I would support that price increase. I think the price should be reflective of the cost of things, and the cost of things should be reflective of the labor and well-being of the people in the chain. So yeah, just politically, that's the dark side of low prices.
Yeah, you're talking about low prices, and then it's like, well, yeah, the bosses also want low prices for labor, and they see children as a cheap. Every worker has a little dollar sign above their head of how much money they cost, and
yeah,
it's dark.
I think I remember reading something about, because when we were looking up, talking about like degrowth stuff, the energy use and like environmental impacts of global shipping via boat is actually per unit much more energy efficient than transport by roads. Maybe in a utopia where we work all this kind of stuff out, maybe it's not, say, the worst thing in the world to have people in Canada on the coast eating Mexican fruit that was brought up the coast in a boat, if that's going to be more efficient. Like, I don't want to be closed-minded or dogmatic to say, no, it's better that we drive things locally within this nation state called Canada at a higher energy usage than using boats to move around coasts and stuff like that. But it's just, I don't know, structurally it just makes me think too. It's like, we could even design society from first principles to be more efficient in general, of like, like just give up on Saskatoon and just like focus on places that are, I don't know. Yeah.
It's not a bad place, Saskatoon. Yeah,
I've got no problem with Saskatoon, but it's just massively inefficient to get Mexican produce there.
Yeah. Yeah, like I don't think global shipping has to be done away with, but we definitely should be leaning into more local production. But yeah, I mean, I think it's not even a utopian thing to say that we shouldn't have child labor or that we shouldn't be destroying the environment to get our food. That's like, I mean, it is, it's part of a utopia, but it's like well below the bar of utopia. That's like basic topia kind of stuff. And that we still haven't achieved yet, unfortunately. But yeah, I don't know, you know, we often talk about utopias on this show as sort of ever receding horizons of continued improvement and efficiency and making things better and better for everyone. So I think the road to food utopia involves creating more and more efficient forms of distribution so that we can cut all that food waste, reduce production, reduce shipping, reduce things that are harming the environment, reduce the drain of the massive amounts of profits ripped out of our food chain at every level, from the rents to the big box stores, you know, all of it. Reducing all the bad stuff and increasing the good stuff so that people have more access to food, more access to food, more access to diverse forms of food, and better community organization around distributing food and interacting with food so that we, you know, food is better integrated into our lives in ways that is like beneficial and enjoyable and, you know, leaning away from the sort of dystopian, horrifying grocery store, sensory nightmare, self-checkout that throws up a red alarm every time you scan something twice, leaning more towards community feasts, cornucopian offering for all the people that we all share, and you don't have to wait in line because there's enough. And yeah, I guess that's groceries. Next time on Seriously Wrong. This just in, it looks like the results from the mayoral election are in. Looks like Jeff and Kirk both got about 17,003 votes. We're not sure which one pulled out ahead yet. They're neck and neck. They're so close. Doesn't matter now. Neither can be mayor. And it seems that the winner from the write-in votes is a Mr. Geet Finkus.
Yeah, with 32 votes, as Geet Finkus is still alive, he's eligible to become mayor. And it was a tough field in write-ins. It looks like in second place, we had 22 votes for Bread Genius.
And 16 votes for... A lot of familiar faces here in the...
16 votes for Geet Finkus, which I think is a common misspelling.
It's a crowded field, over 200 write-in candidates, but it does seem that Geet Finkus is far and away our winner.
My understanding is that Geet Finkus has run no campaign at all and has expressed no interest in the office of mayor.
He's always been sort of the protest vote. Like, those who seek political power are those who least deserve it. People who believe in that would just vote for Geet on principle. And now, through a wacky, wild turn of events involving a pedophile boat, it seems that he is our new mayor. And I think we actually have a statement from new mayor Finkus, is that right, coming in on the line?
Hi, everyone. I'm Geet Finkus. I don't know what a mayor does. I am actually pretty busy right now, but I'm up for it. Sorry, I don't want to sound negative. I'm just trying to, I don't know. Let me think. I think people want the lights to stay on and us to keep the trees. And I don't know, I'm just thinking out loud here, but probably something like a nice dinner every now and then. I don't know how to do any of that, but, you know, I think it's time for change. I think us need a fresh set of eyes at City Hall. I think us can do better than this group of boat pedophiles that have been running the show around here for too long. And I think us do need to have lower prices and where possible, and maybe also sometimes higher prices if there's a good reason. So let's Geet to work.
Yay.
And so Geet Finkus was mayor of Wrongtown for the rest of his life and ushered in total utopia? Is that fair to say?
I mean, total utopia compared to what it was before, many would say. Some would dispute, many would say. Total utopia compared to the imagined total utopia of people in that total utopia, no.
So there you have it.